If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, is mostly where we'll be in the Bible with the following today, my lesson. Ezekiel 18, if you turn to there. In the days of Jeremiah, Judah and the city of Jerusalem were taken by Nebuchadnezzar. They were given into his hands to the king of Babylon. And Jeremiah cried out to God to remember his people and to deliver them. For they were suffering the consequences of their father's sins. We read in Lamentations 5 verse 7, that letter that Jeremiah wrote and all that they're suffering in the midst of the takeover by the Babylonians. Our fathers sinned and are no more. But we bear their iniquities. They felt that upon themselves, that they were bearing the iniquities of their fathers. At least Jeremiah, in calling out to God. And Jeremiah prophesied in Judah from this morning's scripture we're reading in Jeremiah 31. And just in verses 27 through 30, he declared, "Behold, the days are coming." In verse 27, and then he explained that God will bless them, and that in those days they shall understand that everyone is accountable for bearing his own sin. They won't be bearing their father's sins anymore if they do what's right. In Ezekiel, where we are, our lessons coming from mostly today, in chapter 18, Ezekiel prophesied in Babylon among the exiles of Judah, those who had been taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. He left some people down in Judah and they were being ruled by Nebuchadnezzar under his kingship. But many of them were taken off into exile into Babylon. And Ezekiel was up there among those exiles of Judah. And here in Ezekiel 18, I'll read verses 1 through 4 right now. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying that fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, every life. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins will die. Compare this to Jeremiah 31, 29 and 30 that we read in the scripture reading. In those days they shall no more say the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But this is what they will say. Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. They needed to consider their ways, both those in Judah and those up in Babylon. They need to consider their ways before God and choose how to live and not die. And of course, we're considering spiritual life, because everyone will face a earthly death. But separation from God and his blessings is a really bad one to face. Continuing in verses 5 through 7. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exacted usury or interest, nor taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and has executed true judgment between man and man. If he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. You know, and as is written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and also in Romans, it's quoted in chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. If the man does justly and follows God's laws, not to do these evil things, but to do what is good for your neighbor, to help them out in their need. That's living by faith, following God's law and loving your neighbor as yourself. So he was a just man. Continuing in verses 10 through 13. If he, this just man, begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, nor restored the pledge, lifted his eyes to idols, or committed abomination, if he has exacted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. This son did not follow his good example. This example of a son did not follow his father's good example. But he sought some other means for the desires of life he wanted. He did not walk before God faithfully. And as it said here, he will surely die if he continues in that way. Separation from God eternally. Going on in verses 14 through 17, the word from God goes on from Ezekiel here. If, however, the sinful man begets his son, who sees all the sins which his father has done, and considers, but does not do the same things, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, he has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor, and not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Now here's the son of the unrighteous man, recognized his father's sin and did not follow in them, but walked in the fear of God. And as it said, he shall surely live. He will have life from God. He continues in so doing. So continuing in verse 18 of Ezekiel. Verse 18 of Ezekiel 18. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed and robbed his brother by violence and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Yet you say... Speaking to those people of Judah there in Babylon. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. Now sometimes there's a tendency to place guilt or the reputation of a father on their children. I don't know if that's why that he said that to them here. That why you say should the son not bear the guilt of the father. But sometimes that happens in this world. And we have to be careful it doesn't happen with us. that we tend to place the guilt or reputation of one's father or where they came from upon his own children. You know, that could come from self-righteousness, favoritism, or jealousy, or even something else if we had that kind of an attitude. Things that are not good. Not looking out for our neighbor, or a brother, or a sister. So we should never judge people this way. But to judge righteously according to what each one does. To help when we can. Well, going on in verse 20 of Ezekiel 18, the soul who sins shall die. The son won't bear the guilt of the father. Like, that's why should the son bear the guilt of the father? The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions, none of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? That's one thing about God's character, his desire for his creation. As we're told in 1 Timothy 2:4, that God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Why? So we can follow and do right and be righteous and have life. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, it said, God is not slacking concerning his promise, the judgment to come. As some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has made the opportunity there for us, for every one of us. If we've sinned, turn to God. He's long-suffering because he wants us. He, as it says here, he does not take pleasure that the wicked should die. In verse 24 of Ezekiel 18, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, when he sins and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. We have to watch our step. Let's always seek to avoid sin and avoid turning from what is right and just. If you get these feelings or ideas, something gets into your mind from some persuasion of something out there in the world, be careful. Don't let it take you away. Remember, Timothy was told, flee from youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife. He was told the same thing. Keep from going into these things. Avoid them. Flee from those things that will turn you away from God. And going on to verse 25 in Ezekiel 18. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way, which it is... Is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns from the wickedness he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is not my ways, is it not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not fair? You know, we always need to consider our ways before God. He's just and fair. There's a rule to be followed. And a way he has set for us that we may live and do right and be able to live peacefully and godly, with joy, with hope. Therefore I will judge you. And going on in verse 30. O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart, a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Turn therefore and live. In Ezekiel 31:11 it says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? God is the judge, and his judgment is fair. He is patient with us as sinners. He called Israel, every one of them, to repent and to turn from all their sins which they had committed. They were instructed how to do this. Put away your life of sin and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Turn to God and live. In Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, it begins, behold, the days are coming. We just read about, behold, the days are coming, when God would hold them accountable for their sins. And they were told that under Ezekiel, after Jeremiah had prophesied it down in Jerusalem. The days had come when God was doing that with them. And in Jeremiah 31 through 34, he says, behold, the days are coming. He says it again. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This new covenant was made by God through the Word, as in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and without Him, nothing was created that has been created. He was the one who God sent. He was sent to his own people who rejected him. But to those who believed on him, he gave the right to be children of God. Not born of the will of a man, but born of God. By his word. Through what Jesus Christ, his son, taught from God. This new covenant was made by the word, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. And was put into effect when sealed by the blood of Jesus. He died for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world, so that everyone who turns to God by faith in Jesus, the Son of God, might have the forgiveness of sins and obtain everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. When Jesus gave the memorial supper to His disciples during that last Passover meal before His crucifixion, He said to them, "This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." The new covenant was coming with Jesus, and His death, His blood, was the seal of that covenant. They had to sprinkle the blood on the covenant Moses made, seal it, make it full. And Jesus shed His blood for the new covenant. And John chapter 1 verse 17 states, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared Him. He who has been resurrected is at the right hand of God. He declared God to us, the Father, and what He wants of us." And John 5:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." And in John 6:47, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me has everlasting life." In John 8:31, He said, Then Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? Free from the slavery to the sins that controlled you by your previous ways and beliefs. Because you're going to take the teachings of Jesus and put them to work. If you hold to My teaching, you're My disciples indeed. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me." That new heart and new spirit of God, spirit that God urged the people of Israel to get back in Ezekiel 18:31. Now He said there, "Cast away all your transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why should you die, O house of Israel?" For why should you? That new heart and new spirit that God urged the people of Israel to get is one that seeks God's righteousness, turns away from evil. When one comes to God in Jesus Christ, they're instructed. We're instructed. In Ephesians 4, verses 23 through 24, it says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, the sin that controlled us before, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God, according to His word, His direction, and faithfulness to Him, in true righteousness and holiness. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. It tells us that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. So when a person turns to God and away from sin and follows the word of mercy and truth, he is given us through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit and the prophets and apostles. He's given us that word. When a person turns to God, away from sin, to that word, that person must stop sinning and do what is right in the sight of God. He or she must believe and confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Who's going to save us? We've got to believe in the one that we know that can save us. Believe in the God who sent him to save us by his sacrifice and his lead, his love for us and teaching us what we need to do. And that person would need to repent of his sins when he turns to God. Repent of his or her sins and understand that the wages of sin is death. As Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The person who turns to God away from sin must also be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, washing their sins away, calling on the name of the Lord, as the Apostle Paul was told to do. When he turned to the Lord from his sin, the answer of a good conscience toward God, as we're told in 1 Peter 3 about baptism, putting away the old man of sin, and by faith in God, putting on the new man in the spirit of righteousness by the gospel of Jesus Christ, living by the word of God, changing that old man of corruptness. And this word is the word of God which endures forever, as we're told in 1 Peter 1:26, I think it is. Second Peter 2:19 tells us, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And my last words in the midst of this, that we're called to be right, to turn from sin always before God, to do what's right, to follow his word, become that new man, day by day. Sometimes we have to renew that. The church of Ephesus needed to remember who they loved and when they were rebuked in Revelation chapter 2. Remember where you came from. We need to always work in our growth and our renewal. Coming to God, being humble. Growing in our love and care for one another and for our Lord's purpose. That people might live and come to him. Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing, well-pleasing, in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus and his word, and his love, and the help of your brethren who are walking in his light will be there to give us strength. God has given us that by his power. Let's always turn to him and let his word be our guide so that we can consider and know how we should respond to things, how we should act about things, how we should turn from sin, how we should continue in righteousness, and do good for one another, and bring glory to God, doing what's pleasing in his sight. If any one of you are here today and has a need that we can help you with, or if you would like the prayers of the congregation for some reason, or if you would like to obey God in being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, or for eternal life, we can assist you in that. But please let us know. You may come forward to the front as we sing the song Chosen, or you may let one of us know so that we may help you. Please do so as we stand and sing the song.